This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Hillary Kilpatrick. She's Associate Director of International Folk Art Market Online, which is part of the Folk Art Alliance based right here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
It's great to have you here. And we're here to talk about a number of things, including the fact that there is a special event happening tomorrow and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, the 21st and 22nd, at La Fonda, and it's basically a little kind of mini holiday version of International Folk Art Market.
Exactly. We're really excited to give your listeners and Santa Fe locals a chance to elevate their giving this year and to buy handmade gifts that are steeped in cultural meaning. And we're going to have over 30 artists from 28 different the work of over 38 artists from 28 different countries represented here, and it should be a really fun, festive event.
So Folk Art Market, as probably many of our listeners know and probably many of our listeners have also been to, is this gigantic event that happens in the summer where artists and artisans from all over the world come and show their and sell their artistic production. This winter, this one, this coming weekend, is mostly more the kind of like gift level stuff, like Christmas decorations and Christmas gifts? Or what is it? What are we looking at?
Well, we actually have something for everyone on the list this year. So we've got products priced as low as $10, some great handmade PVC bracelets from Namibia. And then we've got products all the way up to almost $2,000 for some 18-karat gold filigree earrings from Sardinia. And we do have some great handmade holiday decor from Kyrgyzstan, so these really intricate felt pieces.
I'm looking at them right now, ladies and gentlemen, very cute little angels.
Yeah, and the artist, Irkabu, is known for the detail she does in the faces and the expressions, and they really brighten any holiday scene.
So let's talk a little bit about what Folk Art Market is all about. I mean, as we know, artists come from all over the world, but it's a huge economic piece of these artists' lives and for a lot of them, the places that they come from as well.
Yeah, it definitely is. And one of the things we do is by providing this economic opportunity for artists to sell their work, we help with two things. We help for them to maintain their traditions and carry on their traditions. And we also help them to serve as catalysts for positive social change in their communities. A lot of times the money that they earn at the folk art market will serve their community for the entire year. And a real interesting story is one of our groups that came last year from Namibia was telling us that with the folk art market money, they no longer have a hunger season.
Oh,
which
my
is,
goodness.
You know, winter as we know it, but they don't, they only can eat what they grow and without having income to buy anything. So now that they have this income, they're able to buy extra food to store up for the winter and no longer have to suffer through a hunger season.
Tell us some other stories of the, I mean, you've brought to the baking company here these wonderful objects that are sitting here on the table. I wish our listeners in Radio Land could see them, but tell us where each one of them is from.
Yeah.
And
well,
describe them.
Let's talk first about this handmade basket that's from Rwanda.
Now, it's a basket, but it looks like a jar with a lid.
It does. And this model is the model of the typical hut in Rwanda. And so it has a lid and it's natural colors with naturally dyed black grass along with an orange. And this story is amazing. This woman, Janet Nikabana, started this co-op when she went back to Rwanda after their civil war and the genocide between the Hutu and the Tutsi. And when she got back, she noticed there were no men in the community because most of them had been killed in the war. And she saw a lot of women, and they needed to heal. And she wanted to find a way to unify the country again. And she thought one thing that all women knew was how to weave baskets. They had all learned it from their mothers and their grandmothers. So she started a co-op of people weaving baskets. And she started with joining the Hutu and the Tutsi to weave together. And it took a while. You know, at first they were sitting on opposite sides of the room, and slowly but surely they, oh, can I use that color of grass? And started talking, and now they weave together, and they've woven peace in the community in Rwanda.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story, and their baskets are so intricate and so lovely, and we've got a range of their baskets. So we've got some for $50 that are pretty accessible to anybody, all the way up to almost $200 for the most intricate baskets we've got from them.
I mean, looking at this basket and the story that's woven into that and this sense of peace between these two groups, what happens in the summer? Do women from kind of both sides of that tribal divide show up at folk art market to sell these baskets?
Yeah, they bring different members of the co-op. So every year they bring about three different members. And so they bring a Hutu and a Tutsi. And usually Janet comes, who was the founder of the organization. And another really cool thing, although we won't have the artist here this weekend, every piece of artwork comes with a card from the artist with their picture and a quote about the group. So it gives you a connection. And especially if you're giving it as a gift, it gives the receiver of the gift a connection to who made that piece of work, and you really feel, you know, the love of the handmade that went into it.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's from Rwanda. Now we're looking at is that a silk scarf?
This is a silk scarf from Cambodia, and feel it. I mean, it's just so soft and absolutely amazing.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is.
And this scarf is shades of blue, and it represents the blue of the Mekong River. And this actually is another story of a woman going back to a broken community in Cambodia after she was forced to flee during the Pol Pot genocide in 1984. When she returned, she noticed that a lot of the women there were forced to sell themselves to the sex trade as the only means of earning an economic income. So she revived the traditional art of silk weaving and started a co-op that sells the silk weaving. And now it also, when she started the women working in the silk weaving, she noticed a lot of them had children, so they needed childcare. And then that turned into a kindergarten. And now they've got a scholarship program for first through ninth grade for the children of the weavers. So, you know, when you get something like this, you're really making a difference in a community, and you're getting something gorgeous to wear.
Yeah, beautiful shades of blue. Now, are co-ops, you've mentioned two co-ops, are they kind of the norm when we talk about people who come to folk art market, the artists?
No, we have a whole range of people that come to the folk art market. So we have individual artists, we have family-owned businesses, and we have co-ops. A lot of times with the co-ops, they can produce more because there's more people working in it. But we have a whole range of group.
Now, any other stories that you want to tell us about some of the objects that people will see? We're talking to Hillary Kilpatrick of International Folk Art Market and the International Folk Art Alliance about the pop-up market that's happening this weekend at La Fonda. Now, that is a necklace?
This is a necklace from Morocco, made of the traditional Moroccan buttons that used to go on the jellaba, which is the traditional dress in Morocco. And they no longer use the dress that often, and so these women wanted to keep that traditional art alive. And so they turned the jellaba button into jewelry. And the really cool thing about this piece is that it's actually made from agave.
Oh.
So it takes them 3 days to turn the agave fibers into something that they can use to make the buttons on the jewelry. And they're really colorful and exciting pieces. And as well, when you're wearing one, it gives you something to a great story to tell.
Yeah, they're these buttons. It's hard to even imagine that they're buttons. They're like maybe a third of an inch wide. So yeah. And actually buttoning something with this would be tricky.
Yes. Yeah, they're kind of more for decoration.
They look like little tiny flowers.
Yeah, yeah, they're beautiful. And it's nice to know each one was handmade by women in Morocco. And that's something really exciting this weekend, is that we'll have stuff from every region of the world. So
you cover many countries, and some of them seem to be more represented than others. For whatever reason, Uzbekistan is a highly representative folk art market. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, so here's the thing, is we always receive more applications than we have room for the artists. But we always receive applications once the word spread in Uzbekistan among the artists. I mean, we receive way more applications from Uzbekistan than we do from anywhere else in the world. And it is a really cool story, because after the fall of the communist wall and the opening up of what used to be the USSR, a lot of these traditional crafts that were kind of hidden under the table and almost lost because they were stifled are being revived and brought back. But you're right, we have a travel agent in Uzbekistan that helps a lot of artists there fill out their applications.
Interesting.
And, you know, we're always looking for new artists. Although we have more applicants than we have space, we're always looking for new and exciting artists. So if any of your listeners are traveling somewhere and meet a great artist, especially in an underrepresented region, we'd love for you to reach out and help them fill out an application. And we're always looking for new and exciting things to keep the folk art market new each year.
What are some of your favorite things, and maybe some of the most unusual types of items that you've seen at folk art market?
Well, my favorite is this jewelry from Niger, and it's Tuareg jewelry, and it's made by Alhaji Kumama and his family. And he's about the only person that uses 99.9% pure silver, so you can really see the shine and feel the weight of it. And he mixes ebony wood in with the silver. And then these little handmade beads, it takes an hour to make each handmade bead
Good
on
heavens.
The necklace. And I love his work. I call it modern tribal. But
yeah,
it's something you can wear day or night. And it's just gorgeous. And a really cool thing about folk art, too, is it always has a signature on the inside, the part that touches the person's body, because that's your connection to your soul, to the person that made it.
Would you say a lot of the items at the market are wearable things, whether they be jewelry or scarves or hats or stuff like that?
We do have a lot of wearable stuff. We do also have home decor. One of my other favorite stories is from Haiti, where they make art out of recycled oil drums. So, you know, it's a real story of an innovative community leader that saw these tons of oil drums they had and thought, what can we do with this? And they turn it into beautiful home decor. We have a couple ornaments for the trees, but we have candle holders and bowls. And, you know, even though the earthquake there was years ago, they're still rebuilding. And the artist that I work with there, Jasnel Bruno, says people that buy his work, with each piece they buy, are contributing to renewing hope in a community in Haiti. So it really connects you back to what you're doing.
And those pieces made out of the oil drums are these very elaborate sort of leaves and sort of trees. I don't know if they're tree of life type of trees or whatever, but they're very sort of beautifully organic, made of this heavy metal.
Yeah, exactly. It's an interesting contrast. So they're inspired by the work that, or the nature that they live in, but then using this heavy metal to create birds and trees. And
right.
So it's definitely a fun contrast to see.
Now, you have an online shop as well as these markets, the summer market and now this winter Christmas market. And I was going to ask you, when you've got an online shop, how do you deal with the fact that pieces are unique or limited edition?
Well, that's part of the beauty of it. So the online program is an education program for artists. They're already masters at their folk art, but what they need a little work with is their business skills. And so this program walks artists through how can they improve their export business? How do they, should they deal with U.S. clients? How can they create a production timeline, a collection, decide what they can do in time, how they can produce in time for their purchase order? And with folk art, each piece is unique, so you're not going to get exactly what you see on the website. But it's an interesting quality control process where we have to say, okay, does it have basically the same colors? Does it look basically the same? Is it almost the same length? And then certain pieces, like the necklace I'm wearing, is a one-of-a-kind piece. And we're only going to ever have one piece like that. And that's also okay. So we offer, you know, a range. Certain things like the Moroccan button necklace, they can make a very similar style, and they can make 10 or 15 of those. And other things they can only make one of. And so it's fun to offer that to customers year-round, you know, customers that can't make it to the folk art market or went years ago and have been looking for a piece they lost or broke or their daughter took or something. So it's a nice way to connect year-round with people.
And then when the unique piece is sold, you can just take it off the site.
Exactly.
Interesting. So let's see. So International Folk Art Market is having a pop-up holiday gift market at La Fonda this Saturday and Sunday, tomorrow and Sunday, from 10 to 6 both days. And it's a free event, but you know, there's lots of stuff, lots of Christmas presents. Or holiday presents, Hanukkah presents, whatever kind of gifts you want to give to people. Or, as I always like to do from time to time at Christmas, is buy a little something for oneself.
Yes, definitely. And each piece comes in complimentary gift wrap, which is IF, International Folk Art Alliance signature gift wrap, and with a card from the artist. And yeah, why not pick up one special thing for yourself while you're there shopping for everybody else?
How did you, Hillary, get involved with all of this? Are you an artist yourself?
Just for fun. I don't think anyone would buy my work. But I'm a native to Santa Fe and went away to college and then went to grad school for international relations, went to Peace Corps in Guatemala for 3 years, and I worked with artists there in their communities trying to find markets and economic opportunities. When I returned to Santa Fe, I pretty much was just stopping by Santa Fe to see my family and got connected with the International Folk Art Alliance and got a job. And I've had the privilege of being able to create this online program from scratch over the past 2 years. And it's just really something that I'm passionate about. And it's great to be back with my family and in such a beautiful place like Santa Fe that we all love.
So are there any other things that you would like to show us, so to speak, even though it's just radio, but before we go?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about one of our newest groups from Kenya called Majimoto, and they live in the Masai Mara, and they do the traditional Kenyan beaded jewelry. And I think
you can hear... Yes, it is a jingly thing.
It is a jingly thing, and those jingles are called rompai, and they put them on all of the Kenyan jewelry, and the reason why is to alert the wild animals when somebody's nearby, because in the Masai Mara there's lions, tigers, all kinds of cheetahs, and so when the animals hear this jingle, they think it might be a Masai warrior, and they'll move out of the way.
Nice.
So it helps to protect the women and keep them safe.
And you can also use it to simulate the sound of Santa's sleigh.
Definitely. Jingle bells, right? And it's kind of fun to wear around. I like wearing it around the office and everyone knows when I'm coming.
Right. They say, Hillary's here. Be careful.
Yeah.
Hillary Kilpatrick is Associate Director of International Folk Art Market Online. If people want to find out more on the web, they can go to folkartalliance.org. And they can also show up at La Fonda Hotel on the Plaza tomorrow and Sunday, 10 to 6. The 21st and 22nd of November. Hillary Kilpatrick, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.